Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great this beautiful sunny Wednesday. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the game of life, first developed by Milton Bradley in 1860, where the goal was to live a long, happy life. Since then, the board has changed with different goals and objectives, adjusting to a more contemporary set of values. Money has become a much bigger part in the way we define success and poverty, or the absence of money is more associated with hardship. We'll discuss how to structure your life to be more successfully independent of what your financial status is. Answering the question seldom asked, how come so many financially successful people are so unhealthy and unhappy? Well, that's a great question, I think, to start with, Swami. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's all part of this game of life. Trying to figure out, you know, like what is valuable, what's important, and maybe getting stuck in what the Yoga Sutras calls avidya, ignorance, you know, where we start to chase after things that aren't going to possibly give us the return that we really want. You know, and so when you look at just the evolution of this simple game that Milton Bradley started, I think is a pretty close example of where we are collectively, you know, and how it starts to unravel with the whole concept of values. You know, it's even a simple statement like money is the root of all evil, you know, that the original way that that was stated was the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's how we internalize an image. It's what position of importance we place it in our value system that starts to give us clues into, you know, how this can contribute to our success or it can contribute to hardship.
You know, as I was researching for the show, we had looked up some history about Milton Bradley and the game itself, and I think there are some interesting points that we want to make during the show. And just to give people just a brief history lesson about Milton Bradley, he actually grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts, so he's a local guy. I thought that was kind of interesting. And he began his career actually in the printing business, developed a monopoly, and made great success with that. But then what had happened was he developed a portrait of Abraham Lincoln without a beard. Nobody bought it and actually bankrupted him. So then he decided what he was going to do was he invented this game of life because he had become this really successful person, and now he was not. So what was interesting, though, the point I want to make about all of this is that the original game that he made back in 1860 had these squares on the game that aren't on the board anymore, I should say. Like he has a squares for suicide, crime to prison, gambling to ruin, poverty, jail, disgrace, and all of those squares you no longer see on the boards. I think that's very interesting how back in 1860 he had this moral high ground, so to speak, and felt that these are the things that are going to bring you to ruin, as opposed to you look at the game now and it's very, very different. So what do you think about the differences between the game back in 1860 as opposed to what the game is like now?
Well, just like what you said, I mean, the game of life back then was all about taking this moral high road. That morality was a much bigger variable in how we would define success, that a person's character, their reputation, you know, was far more important than their financial status. So again, we had different values. But then when you look at, well, if from 1860 to 1960 to 2014 or whatever, how the progression is how we're not moving in the direction that I would say that is leading us to this better use of mind, this higher standard of living. It actually seems like we're going the other way. And a lot of it has to do with a lot of what, like, we talk about here. You know, the whole concept of there's a big difference between doing good and being good. You know, that we're more concerned with the conduct than we are or even informed about the connection. The whole thing of having a relationship with this resource of energy that is invisible and intangible. And to use that as a symbol that produces this feeling of happiness, because that's what would produce a whole person. It's one of the things that we say here, that there's an innate drive in all of us that we want to be whole. And when you read the scriptures and you read the books and you read anything that would pertain to a valid method of becoming this whole person, you start to see that that path is very narrow. You know, there's only one way that it goes right. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. It was off point. Or in the Yoga Sutras, they call it avidya, ignorance. But the bottom line is that when you are approaching your life, you want to treat it more in a way that it's more like what we call, it's a simple mind game. And the more that you understand that, that the better you are equipped to develop yourself physically and mentally, the better equipped you are to succeed in this game of life. And a lot of the strategies that are recommended in things like yoga develop us physically and mentally. And you start to see the relativity of everything. But on a very fundamental level, to really define success, you really want to understand that there is this innate drive in all of us that we want to be a whole person. And that this connection to this other source of sustenance is what becomes the road, so that you're not doing good, but you actually be good.
I wonder if Milton Bradley maybe had thought along those lines when he developed this game, where the goal of the game was to make these choices on the board so that you would be able to get through the game without any of these hardships, like making the right decisions. And it almost seems like he wanted that for everyone, you know, to take the game that you're playing and apply it to your everyday life. You know, like don't gamble, you know, don't make these decisions where you're going to be put in jail. You know, right down to the little spinner that he made on the board. The reason why he did the spinner dial and not the dice is because he didn't believe in gambling. He thought gambling was a bad moral behavior.
Yeah, you're probably right. I personally think that people of earlier times, their lives, first of all, were simpler than ours. You know, they lived closer to the marrow of life, you know, that your survival-based motivation was more in sync with your essential needs. You know, I mean, today we are so insulated from our natural environment. We're so protected from a lot of the things that people had to deal with. You know, something as simple as refined sugar. You know, I mean, back then it wasn't in everything you eat. So people were eating real food. You know, they weren't overeating because a lot of people didn't have that available to them. Plus they were, if you're eating real food, you're not addicted to your food. So you're not eating emotionally. So you're plugged into more the natural appetite of your body as opposed to craving food as a symbol that you're going to use to produce a feeling that you're okay. You're not rewarding yourself with food. You're using food to sustain your life. And a lot of times they had different goals and objectives, that it wasn't just about I, me, mine. And in order for them to survive, you also had to have a sense of connectedness to your community. Because a lot of times there were things that you came up against that you couldn't just handle them on your own. And a lot of the conveniences that we have today, a lot of the agencies that we have today that we can just turn to, weren't available. So you had to have a certain sense of social skills. You know, you had to develop your friendships. And today, a lot of this stuff isn't in place. But because your sense of well-being isn't associated with it, it doesn't become very important to us. So it's not that valuable.
You remind me of a conversation that we had a while ago, and that was talking about simplifying, you know, our lifestyle. Just exactly what you were saying. Back in 1860, they didn't have the Burger Kings and the Subways and, you know, all those processed prepared foods for us to make it really convenient for us to eat. And with the social structures that we have now, you're saying those agencies that we have in place, the communities took care of that with the people, not the government. So it's interesting that we've had to rely on the government to provide all the help for the people, that we don't, you know, we don't look to our neighbors for assistance or help, or, you know, help us fix the fence that is broken down. Everything we had to do is by ourselves. So I wonder if we can get back to that simpler way of being, you know, a simple job, simple money, simple foods, and get back to that healthier kind of a person, not only in body, but in the spirit, like you said, live close to the marrow of life.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly what we teach in our system of Kriya Yoga. Use what you need, use what you really do need to produce a feeling that you're happy. Because if you start to look outside yourself for things to produce that same feeling, it does become problematic. You know, and that's one of the things that I just noticed maybe after we introduce our sponsor, that, you know, we can get into that whole thing of the hardship of these people that are seemingly well-to-do today.
All right, so let's hold that thought for a moment. So listeners, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
you know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan Prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private Session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Purna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness, and we are talking about hardship and success, the game of life that was developed by Milton Bradley. So, Swami, let's get back to talking about hardship.
Yeah, I always like that word hardship, and one of the things I always remember was reading somewhere, might have been like on a calendar somewhere, that adventure was hardship aesthetically perceived. Mm-hmm. That the whole thing of, you know, what is it that we call hardship? What is it? What is that? And is that just a mindset? Is that just a simple disappointment that I was expecting things to be different and it changed and I'm not able to make that adjustment? Or is it something that goes beyond that? But I'm sure each case is very individual and there are varying degrees of this word hardship, and some of it could be very real and some of it could be way more imagined. You know, I mean, to the fact where somebody who breaks a fingernail and is just as completely unraveled, as opposed to somebody who may, you know, lose the use of a limb or be diagnosed with some terminal illness or something that would be much more rooted in what I would call reality. But the whole concept of hardship is, it's an interesting dynamic. And it's the whole thing that we're always looking at is the physics. The whole thing that you can't ever lose something where you don't gain something. The whole thing of karma. For every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. That a lot of this isn't just happenstance, that a lot of it is just based on our karmic pattern. It's based on we're ordering these things on a karmic level or an unconscious level. But there is a lesson in it. And I think the more we are attuned to finding a meaning and purpose for our life, the more that we align ourselves with what we call this innate drive that I want to be a whole person, the more we attune ourselves to the resource that would facilitate that process, then the better equipped we are to see things from this broader perspective.
I was thinking about bringing things back to a simpler way of life, and what you're talking about, hardship. There are people out there that have to rely on food stamps. There are people out there who want to work and can't find jobs. I mean, now that to me is a hardship, because that is something that people are really trying to find a way to support themselves in this particular life. So they have to get those things in place first, maybe before they can even start on this spiritual path. And I know that's not how it's supposed to work, but I think that that is what some people would term as hardship. Well, I can't do that until I get all my other ducks in a row, not realizing that if they turn to spirit first, realizing that this is what's supposed to be important to us, not the job, not the money, not this or that. But there are people out there that can't get past the part where they have to find a means to sustain themselves.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's just like what you were saying. If you go back to your basics, people that excel at anything are just better at the basics. So if you look at the basics of the game of life, it's really going to come down to your values. What are the things that I think are really important? And if you based your hierarchy of needs based on the order that is in accordance with universal order, then you use your number one need as the symbol that produces the feeling that you're happy, that you're okay. And then as you go through that hierarchy, you go from the life force, the concept of God, prana, the void, the nothing, to air, to water, to food. Then you have a platform to live by. You know, the term in the religious community was called belief. You know, a lot of times people aren't successful in endeavors is because they don't have this thing called belief. They don't believe they're good enough. And some people use the simple fact that I don't have a job to try and validate the simple fact that I'm not good enough. And so it starts to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if you have this resource-based economy as the foundation of your sense of well-being, then you're better equipped to make any kind of adjustment. Because if you really want to work, if you really want to succeed in life, it's there. But you need to be, first of all, you have to believe that you're good enough. And I think that was the one-size-fits-all solution to any problem was this thing called God that we would turn to. Not the person. It's, to me, that will be the, maybe the theme of another show. But if you can feel connected to the life force, to the force right now that is supporting your life, the thing that is most important to you right now, then you immediately believe that you're good enough. But you also have to remember that, again, the physics of this whole thing, you know, that it's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So that if you are indulging yourself in junk food, you can't get this more subtle source of sustenance into it. You won't have attention for this invisible, intangible resource. So there is protocol. There are things that we have to do in order to get to this fundamental, essential need. But once we start to do that, then, of course, I think you are at least on, have a foothold on a life that will start to evolve as being more successful.
I like what you're saying about you create this connection, and therefore everything else will start to fall into place. For example, the kind of lifestyle that we lead. I was reading an article last week about, on the internet of course, about people who are able to retire in their 30s. And the main theme of this article was there are three major things that we spend our money on, and that's housing, transportation, and food, right? So, you know, in India he was saying, you know, he gave up his car and decided to ride his bike to work. It was only a couple of miles from his home. Then they decided what they were going to do instead of putting, you know, $50,000 to remodel their home. You know, we're going to live in an apartment. You know, we're going to scale everything down a little bit. And then the food they buy is fresh food, very similar to what we're doing. And I just think it's very interesting that when you have this connection, you don't need the brand new car. I'm driving a car that's 10 years old, for example, and it gets me around where I need to go. It doesn't have a computer in the car, but, you know, it's got a gas pedal, a brake, and a steering wheel. It's pretty much what I need. You just start realizing that I don't have to listen to the ads on the TV. I don't need to have, you know, the fashion colors of the season. I don't need to have the newest car. And it really does put everything in a different kind of a perspective. What do I really need every day?
Yeah, because let's just look at some of the hardships of the well-to-do. Mm. You know, it seems like the more you have, the more you have to worry about. And oftentimes, if you're using what you have to produce the feeling that you're good enough, you're drawing from a resource that is insatiable. Mm-hmm. It's dualistic. It's in half. So the minute you have something, it immediately falls short of the mark and you need more. So now you fall into the trap of greed and you start to accumulate more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And it's 180 degrees from, you know, the term in yoga, this whole thing of liberation. Freedom. It's freedom from that trap is what you really want. Mm. And by having a relationship with the part of reality that is whole, that is complete, you again gain a foothold in something that's going to bring confidence to your inner environment. Then from that platform, you can actually go back and live in the real world. You can acquire things. You know, money isn't the root of all evil because you don't love it, you use it. Right. What you do love is what you really do need. Mm-hmm. That's what you're using to validate yourself. Now money becomes a means to an end. But you also have a mind that is connected to your creativity, your imagination, and you can actually start to create a sense of how can I generate revenue and still be in sync with my sense of purpose.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible, and it's great information on this show today. So I think it's about that time where we have to start closing down our program. So I'd like to invite the listeners out there to don't forget to visit our website, follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And like I've said in other shows, if you like what you hear, you know, click it, like it, Twitter it, share it. Whatever you could do to help us get the word out, getting people, you know, connected to this life force. So keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming. We enjoy hearing from you. Also, if you have any questions that you'd like to have answered for the next couple of shows, make sure you email those to us. So next week, we're going to celebrate Memorial Day, Kriya Yoga style. And I also want to give you guys a heads up. The week after that, we're going to talk about the movie God's Not Dead. So I recommend everybody, you know, to watch that if you can. It's available on Netflix. You can stream it or get it on the DVD. So with that, Swami, I want to thank you for being here today. Any final thoughts?
No, I just wish everybody a good day. And namaste. And I'll give it back to you.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Namaste.